We first went over why the wicked prosper. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And why does it seem that the wicked people, the non-Christians, are doing okay, and we as Christians seem to struggle, you know? And outside looking in, you know, to those who don't have a spiritual mind, it seems a little bit unfair, but we live in a different spiritual climate, and we touched on this, but I'll start, this is sort of where we left over. You know, we have the enemy working against us. Jesus talked a lot about, you know, the parable of the sower and the seed, and the devil comes and he's trying to steal the seed out from our lives. Spiritual warfare, you know, being the enemy's trying to deceive, trying to bring deception, trying to bring condemnation, try to bring up your past to you, try to cause animosity and division. And, you know, the church, we as Christians, there's a lot working against us. But there's more that's working for us. And so I want to sort of start off here going into the victory that we have. Through all of this, we must grow in faith and in the pure word of God, because the things that are against us have been offset by God's pure word. I did a teaching a while back, and God knows you and God knows your enemy. God knows the way, the wiles, he knows the way that the enemy operates. So God, in his wisdom, gave us a pure word, gave us instructions, gave us the understanding through this, how to defeat him. Basically, he's defeated, but we have to defeat him in our own lives. You know, we have to renew our minds. We have to stand with the armor that has been given for us. Everything that we need to offset the enemy's attacks and his wiles has been provided for us. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, so many things have been accomplished for us so that we don't have to live under grief and agony of the soul. We know about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, you know. It's good stuff. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't bring agony to our soul. It doesn't bring grief to us. That's what the enemy wants to do. But we've been given everything that we need to offset that, to bring us into peace and joy. Yes, we will have struggles, as our Father in heaven has given us a sure lifeline. He's given us promises. In this world, we are going to struggle. There's going to be things that are against us, but he's given us the lifeline to overcome. He's given us the lifeline to make it through. Jesus Christ. As we learn to lean on him through the knowledge of his word, we can walk in total victory. Now, some people may look from the outside, looking in, you know, in the world, there's a lot of people who are self-made, you know, millionaires and businessmen and, you know, people with PhDs and scientists, and they're self-made. And they look at Christianity as being weak. You need, God is just a crutch. Well, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to the soul, the issues of the soul, give me two crutches. Because I need all the help that I can get. But see, these people who are self-made, they have to lay down at night with their own conscience, mm-hmm. knowing that they probably buried some people to get where they are. They've probably not all been above board, you know. I mean, the flesh is an evil thing. But we, in turn, because of forgiveness. Because of, you know, we sing, because of his love and because of his blood, we can enter in. We can have peace through Christ. So therefore, we can lay down at night and have a sweet, restful sleep, knowing that, thank you, Lord, that you've made me right with you. You've accomplished things in me. You've forgiven me. I can have true peace. As we studied a while back, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I looked up, based on the scripture, of victory. And I want to read the scripture for you. You know what? I didn't put the scripture in. Hot dog. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's a scripture that says that we have the victory through Christ. And I want to give you what the word victory means. And it's G3534. If somebody wants to look that up, I think it was in Corinthians. It talks about, just type in the word victory. A conquest, a triumph, victory. From the Greek lexicon of the New Testament, it's victory to utterly vanquished. So we have, through Christ, we have the victory. And the enemy has been utterly vanquished. What does vanquished mean?
Defeated.
Defeated. Destroyed. Destroyed. Put out. Like a fire is vanquished, snuffed out,
killed.
The scriptures say, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. And we know that that word destroy means to render null and void. So he's the enemy. His, for us as Christians, his work has been considered null and void after what Jesus did. And the scriptures we just read says that we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So, here's what it means. Conquerors is a compound word. And it's the Greek word is hooper nikeho. So hooper, And the whole word together means to vanquish beyond. That is, gain a decisive victory more than a conqueror. So it's like, okay, it's like you got your enemy down and he's knocked out, okay? He's conquered. But more than a conqueror, you just keep stomping on his head. You just keep, it's beyond. And that's the idea. Now, so hooper means in behalf of, for the sake of, over, beyond, more than, more beyond, over. So you're more than just a normal person, a winner, more than a winner. And then the second part of nikahu, is to conquer, to carry off the victory, come off victorious of Christ, victorious over all his foes of Christians, to hold fast their faith even to death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. When one is arraigned or goes into law, to win the case, maintain one's cause. So when you put it together, it's to gain a decisive victory, more than just conquering. You know, it's like playing a game, a baseball game, and you win 9-3, you've won. But if you won 90-3, that is more. You know, so it's just beyond. Like Jesus said, again, John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And what is that? Superior.
Superior in quality.
And quantity. Superior in quantity. Overabundant in quantity. So when it comes to the trials, tribulations, through Christ, we've already overcome. We just have to walk in that and not allow this to drag us down, the mind, to be renewed in our mind. So let's look at some of the things that we're going to face. And we're going to take a few of these and we'll talk about them. And but again, we're never left alone. You're never left to figure it out on your own. That's the thing about, you know, about our God. That's the thing, Amanda, that you can appreciate, because you're not left out, kicked out to do it on your own. You've got someone there to guide you every step of the way.
He never leaves you nor forsakes you.
He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen. So Matthew 5:10. And this is Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. We call this the Sermon, the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:10, 11, and 12. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now, listen. Make sure that whatever you're doing for the Lord and you're doing it for His sake, so that your name isn't talked evil of because maybe stupid things that you've done on your own. You know? Mm-hmm. Not, you know, getting out in the flesh and then having a tantrum or something. You know, well, there is some kind of a Christian. That'll be used against you. Rejoice. So if you're doing what's right, if you're standing for the Lord, okay, you're standing for righteousness, you make a decision, no, I'm not going to do that because it's not righteous. It's not God's way, so I'm not going to be a part of that. And you're persecuted because of that. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, if somebody wants to look this up, Jesus, before he was going, during the triumphant entry, right in there sometime, Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He was lamenting over Jerusalem, "You which kill the prophets." There's a study that was done, and all the prophets that of the Old Testament, the good prophets that were killed, were all killed in Jerusalem. Why? Well, if you think about during the reign of the kings and back there, Jerusalem was like the capital, and the prophet basically would be prophesying to the king and to the nation through the king. Sometimes if they didn't like what the prophet had to say, even though he spoke what's right. In fact, there's a story about Ahab who put a prophet in prison, because Ahab, we know, was a bad king, was a bad leader. And so the prophet would say the word of the Lord, and it wasn't good because the guy was messing up. So he threw him in prison.
And so there was another time where they needed to make a decision about going to war. And there were prophets, of course, you know. I mean, the enemy will send you all kinds of people to go, oh, you're going to do fine. Oh, you're a good king. You're a great king, you know. And then comes the one out of the many who goes, you need to get your life right with God. You're not doing well, and if you don't, you're going to die. And that happened with Ahab. And so they let this guy out of the prison, and he said, Ahab, you're going to die. And he goes, see, he never says anything good about me. Well, guess what happened? It wasn't too much longer after that Ahab died. You know. But, you know, that's the way some of these evil rulers were. But anyway, so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44 and 45, he said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So what's Jesus trying to get us to understand here? Trusting in him. We've been talking for a lot of weeks on dependency. God wants us to depend on him. Do not judge God. Listen to this closely. This is free. Don't judge God by how he deals with other people. God deals with everybody on an individual basis. God will never deal with you, Amanda, the way he deals with Keaton or Kinley or Joe or Drew. He deals with everybody on an individual basis based on their level of faith, based on their walk, based, you know, on their maturity. God considers that, and you can read Psalms 103 to see how that God, he doesn't judge us based on the outside. He doesn't judge us. He understands that says that we're dust. And so he doesn't deal with us after our weaknesses, after our wrongdoings, because he's our Father. And he wants us to have a good relationship with him. So contrary to popular belief, he isn't sitting there with a hammer just waiting for that one mistake. That isn't the picture of our Father. But there will be hardships. But God wants us to depend on him because he will deal. He will reward. He will bless you according to what you did. So if somebody comes against you and you come back against them, and let's say that you have a word fight and you win, you got your reward. That's all you're going to get. And it's not from God. Romans 12:14 says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Remember Jesus. He was spit on. He was beaten. Who knows? They plucked his beard. Who knows everything that really, really happened? But it said when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but he committed himself to him who judged righteously.
How come you just said, bless not, judge not?
It says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not.
Oh, bless.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of cursing them, bless them.
That was the same.
Okay, so we've shared this in the past. Why bless? Why do we bless those who do wrong and do wrong against you? Why do we pray a blessing over them? Why do we? Why the word bless?
So God can deal with them.
Okay. Basically, yes. You would rather have God to deal with people than you to deal with it, because God judges in a right way. He deals in a right way. So whenever you're having issues with people, just pray a blessing. Lord, I just bless them. Lord, let your hand be upon them. I bless them. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 2. Let's look at that.
I have a question, if that's okay.
Yes.
When you're blessing, like, people who've done you wrong or hurt you in any way.
Say that again.
When you're blessing, people are praying for those that have done you wrong. Sorry, I paused. I was trying to think of how I want to ask this. It's also something that I've been learning through the Spirit, though, is, like, they call it heart checks, because, like, your heart also needs to be in the right place, because...
Right, and if your heart wasn't in the right place, you wouldn't be able to pray a blessing over him.
Okay.
See, but that's being mindful of him. Lord, I just pray a blessing over them. Touch their lives. Because, listen to this scripture in Romans chapter 2. It says... Verse 4, to get to context, you can read the scriptures before. That's talking about judging. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that it's that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance.
Is that also like killing them with kindness?
It could be, yeah, yeah, but with that, but you don't want to do that in the natural, you know. I mean, people can do that in the natural, and it's icky.
What do you mean in the natural?
Well, yeah, I mean doing it in the flesh, you know.
Like you can like tell they really don't mean it.
Yeah, you can tell they really don't mean it.
I would have rather had you insult me.
Yeah.
Than do that, you know?
Yeah, but don't you know that it's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance? That's why we bless. What was the best thing that Jesus did? Well, he died for us. He took your sin upon him so that you in turn could be free. It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. So bless them which persecute you. And when you bless, you're allowing God's hand to deal the way He knows best. Okay? Remember, God cannot go against a person's will, right? And neither can you. And you shouldn't try. That's why we bless. We see on the outside. Okay? All we do is we see the end result of what's in a person's heart. Okay, case in point, we talked about this before. You're in a shopping line and the clerk is just really nasty and got a bad attitude. And you go, wow. Boy, she, you know, left a sour taste in your mouth. But what we don't know is the night before, did she have a drunk husband that beat her up? Or did she have her mother or somebody, a friend, just die? Or... you know, she's just not dealing with it well. We don't know what's on the other side. But God knows. That's why we bless and we don't judge. Because you could be totally wrong. So not only did you not help their day go better, but you just put yourself in a bad spot too. That's why we bless. One more. 1 Peter 3:10, starting at 10. For he that will love life and see good days, is that you? You want to see good days? You want to love your life? Let him refrain his tongue from evil. and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him shun evil and do good. Let him seek peace and follow it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now listen to this closely. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Remember, Jesus said, there's going to be troubles and tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome. Remember, hallelujah, you have won the victory. Hallelujah, you have done it all for me. But, verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 3, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that you have in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, a couple things here. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means have your heart settled. Why? I've been watching you, and I've been watching these people make fun of you, but you take it. Why is that? Have your heart prepared to give an answer. Always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, having a good conscience, remember, if you're, you know, the devil will always try to bring up your past. That's the only ammunition he has. So you deal with the past. How do you deal with it? Well, recognize what the Bible says. How many here, you're forgiven? Okay, what does that mean? You're forgiven. You're forgiven of your sins. What does that mean? God's not holding it against you. Right? As far as the east is from the west, that's in Psalms 103 as well. He's removed our transgressions from us. As far as the deep in the depths of the sea, he's cast our transgressions never to be remembered again. So how do you deal with your past? You deal with it as it's buried. Get that in your mind. It's buried. Don't be afraid of what people say. The enemy, that's all he has. But know your future. Know what's been done. Okay? So you're not going to jump back at somebody because they jump at you, but you'll be followers of good, and who can be that person that will harm you? But having a good conscience, I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I have good standing with the Lord. So whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Who will vindicate you? God will. If you trust in him and you say, God, you know, this is a little bit tough, but Lord, I'm going to commit it to you. And believe me, through the years, your skin will get thicker. But remember, there is no future in the past. No future in the past. So, we've overcome. We've triumphed. We're more than conquerors. That means, and it's not just a one-time thing. We haven't conquered just once. We lived conquerors. So let's have the mentality. Nothing, who is it that's going to harm you? Nothing can hurt you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, I believe it is, and 22, he said, let's look at that and we'll close. Luke chapter 10. I give unto you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But then he just didn't leave it there. 10:19. Luke chapter 10. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus said nothing can hurt you, what is he saying? Basically, you're untouchable. You know, you're hidden in, Psalms 91, you hide yourself in that secret place, you're untouchable. But we have been given the authority through the name of Jesus. In my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. In my name. So, I have to say that this is a guarantee. What we've been talking about is guaranteed as long as we do it by the book. Yeah. Guaranteed results.
Do you think, like, people that are hurting or that are going through stuff, obviously it's through spiritual warfare because you're for believers, but, like, is it also because of their unbelief that they're still being attacked?
Believe me, there's a lot of Christians that have unbelief. Yes.
You're talking like doubt or...
Yeah, like I met a woman who is just in constant pain and she's a great woman of God, but I'm like, okay, you have this authority. You're way older than me. I'm like, how are you like this much in pain? Like, I don't know.
There's a lot of things, there's a lot of contributing factors that could be unforgiveness. The Bible tells us that unforgiveness is like rottenness to your bones. Bitterness is like rottenness to your bones. So you got a person, you know, who they're a little bitter. They're not going to do well. The Bible doesn't give you permission to be bitter.
No, it's against the spirit.
The Bible does not give you permission to hold grudges. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you read Mark 11, it says, when he says, have the faith of God, and if you say unto this mountain, be removed, and you believe in your heart, you'll have what you say. But when you stand praying, forgive. Because if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven won't forgive you. Forgiveness and blessing as well, and forgiveness is a release. When you bless somebody, you're releasing them into God's hands. Same as when you're forgiven. Forgiveness is for you to release. Because you don't want anything hanging on to you. You don't want any poison. You don't want any thorns sticking in you. Because if you have a thorn that you don't get out, or a sliver, it festers, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And then you hit something, rubs it the right way, and you feel it. So forgive, bless. Don't hold grudges. Be simple, the Bible tells us, towards evil. That means don't pay attention to it. Don't even notice it. And if we can do that successfully, it takes discipline. It takes understanding the Word and reading the Word and, you know, understanding the Scriptures. But if we can successfully do that, wow. I remember a while back, honey, God gave you a vision of you were above the mud. You were in a high place, and you weren't running in the mud. You're running above the mud. And that's what God has for us. He doesn't want us to be mud wreckers. Always having to be cleaning the mud off you, we can rise above. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you. Thank you for your word that it brings us life. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, Lord. In fact, your word tells us that the promises of God are yea and amen. So we trust in your word, and we trust in your will. We trust in your love. We trust in you, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.